Log Talk Radio.
Greetings, everybody. This is Richard Olson, and we're here today at Sound Health Options show with Sherry Edwards normally, but Sherry is off running a conference, so I'm doing the show solo today, and things will be back to our regular gnashing and talking about all sorts of issues and the vocal profiling when Sherry gets back next week. Today, we get to have the pleasure of talking to Pamela Oastley. Pamela is an author, consultant, lecturer, and professional psychic. She has a very extensive and loyal clientele, including many celebrities. Pamela is a popular guest on many television and radio shows and hosts her own radio show in Santa Barbara, which I believe is on KZSB.org, which is also simulcast internationally via the Internet. She interviews world-renowned authors, scientists, and celebrities, discusses diverse topics, and gives personal aura readings to listeners. Pam has written three books, Life Colors, What Your Aura Colors Say About You, Make Your Dreams Come True, and the book we'll be focusing on today, The Love Colors, A New Approach to Relationships and Auras. Since 1983, she has traveled throughout the country presenting seminars and conducting workshops about the emerging human potential, psychic abilities, auras, and the power of our beliefs to create our reality. She's also spoken at international conferences such as the International Forum on New Science and a feature presenter for Fortune 500 companies. Welcome, Pam.
Hello, Richard.
Good morning. How is it in Southern California today?
Well, you know, a week ago it was like 111 degrees, and today we have fog, so I'm sure people are more grateful for that. It's a little cooler. It's more like our beautiful beach weather.
That's what we've had up here. We've had a run of really hot weather, and today it's overcast and cool, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, just to keep us, you know, from getting bored. Just have to
That's right. We wouldn't want to be bored.
There's so much to do in life. How could anyone be bored?
I don't know. I can't even figure that out myself. So I think I have to start right at the, you know, for the, you know, three people out there listening who don't know who you are. I think we have to start at the beginning of, you know.
The beginning of time.
Right. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Is it the Big Bang or is it, you know, are we really monkeys? Or, you know, anyway. So how did this start for you? How did your, you know, how did the game begin in the aura colors world?
Well, just briefly, my whole life I felt like I was going to teach or be a philosopher or do something to improve the quality of life for people. I've known that my whole life. And I went into that field working with autistic kids and learning disabled kids and emotionally disturbed kids. And then I ended up in the rock and roll business working with retarded adults. No, I'm kidding. I love rock and roll musicians. I love musicians. So I ran concert facilities and theaters, and then I went to hear a psychic speak, Michael Bromley from England, and I walked into the room with a lot of other people, and he looked at me and pulled me up in front of the group that night and said, I want you to start telling people psychically what you see about them. And I went, excuse me? I just came to watch you talk. Are you kidding me? So I basically psychically got thrown into the water. And oddly enough, found that I was receiving a lot of information about people that I've never met before. Things like a woman over to my right, I saw the spirit of a little girl standing next to her. So I knew she was pregnant, and she didn't even know she was pregnant. So she went to the doctor and found out she was, in fact, pregnant, and she did end up having a little girl. So that was the beginning of my adventure. Then I met a woman, Barbara Bowers, who could see auras. And I started presenting workshops with her and found that the information that she was seeing around the auras, you know, she had seen auras ever since she was a child. She thought everyone could. And at that point, I was not seeing auras. I was just receiving psychic information about people. So when she started describing the personality types that went around with the aura color, went along with the aura color she was seeing, I went, oh, no wonder. So that's a violet. Oh, so that's a yellow. Okay, I get it, because I've been working with people for years and finding that they had, that there were common personality qualities and characteristics that people had in common. So within a year of working with Barbara, I am evolved into having the ability to be able to not just see and sense them psychically. I actually started being able to see auras. So that's how I got started in the journey. I was basically thrown into the water.
Wow, what an adventure.
Well, it's funny because the psychic told me, he goes, you know, you've been asking to go to the next level. Well, this is it. And I was like, where did you know that? So it was definitely a quantum leap for me at that point. And
really?
Go
ahead.
Oh, I do believe that all of us have intuitive and psychic abilities, some more than others. We all have, you know, we've all had feelings or thought of someone and the phone rings, or, you know, we have those abilities. It's just, you know, some people, we exercise it more, that's all. Just like some people are naturally athletic, but they exercise it more to get, you know, to improve their abilities.
And I know that from having read your other book, The Life Colors, that there's sort of what I would call daily aura colors, sort of how your mood shifts and how you're feeling and what's going on emotionally or psychically with you at the time. But your life colors, or the colors that you're talking about, are really more life colors, more like a pattern of who you are.
Right.
Can you talk
right.
about that a little bit?
Yeah, great. First of all, for anyone listening, because I know it's Sunday morning, my goodness. Probably most of your listeners know what an aura is if they listen to Sherry's show. So you know, it's an energetic field. It's an energy field that radiates off of all matter, especially living matter. It's just stronger around living matter. So what happens is when I see the aura around people, it's like a glow, like a light bulb, but there are lots of different colored bands around a person. The one or two colors, the way I perceive the aura, now I run into people that see it differently, so if people out there feel or experience it differently, that doesn't mean someone's right or wrong, it just means we're experiencing it differently, just like we taste food differently, because there are people out there that like asparagus, and I know they're not tasting what I'm tasting, so that you might see or feel the aura differently, but what I see is the one or two bands of colors closest to a person's body are their life colors. Those show the theme that they have chosen for this lifetime. It reflects your personality, your life purpose, the careers you're going to be the happiest in, what you're like in relationship, how you deal with money, how you perceive things like money and success, and how you relate to other people and children, and even potential health challenges. Each of the different aura color personalities have weaknesses where if they've got an issue, it'll go right to a certain spot in their body. Now, the outer bands in the aura, because typically I see about 6 feet of bands out from people. It's the outer bands in the aura that change all the time according to what's going on with someone at the time. So if someone gets really angry, I see a lot of red starting to flare up in the outer bands. It's not a red life color. Or if they're really working hard and they're trying to make a lot of money, I see a lot more green showing up in their outer bands. So those are the ones that change all the time. And I've noticed, I get this question a lot, Richard, people that have gone and had their aura taken by the cameras that you see maybe at psychic fairs or whatever, those cameras, and I have some clients that have those cameras and they've explained it to me this way, those cameras measure the frequency, the energy, the emotional energy that's around you at that time. It could change hours from then, it could change the next day, it could change a week from then. They don't always pick up the life colors. So if someone reads my book and they relate to the blue and then they go get their picture taken and it looks orange and red, they're not picking up your life color. They're picking up your emotional energy at that time. And so if you do get your picture taken, ask the person with the camera to interpret what those particular colors mean for you.
So they're more picking up the what I'm calling the sort of daily transitory colors rather than that's what one of the things I've always enjoyed about your work is that it's such a great when you have other people around you who have this as a language. It's so great to be able to say, oh, you know, he's a yellow, well, like I'm a yellow. I'm a big old yellow. We'll talk about that probably more, I bet. You know, oh, he's a yellow, or that's an indigo. Well, there's a lot of talk now about the indigos.
Right.
Or a violet or a green. And it just really helps give a quality to what that person is like. And it's a great shortcut. It's a great system.
It is a great language, isn't it? And I want people to know, I don't do this to limit people, because you and I, Richard, both have yellow in our auras, and we yellows as much as we're fun people and we're pleasers, we ultimately hate being told what to do. So this is never about boxing someone in or trapping them or limiting them. I'm a strong proponent of free will. It's just they help a person understand themselves and basically validate who they are. Once people find out they're an indigo or a crystal or a lavender, people go, I felt this way my whole life. Oh, my God. They just feel validated. And then it also helps us understand other people and allow them to be who they are. So it really helps with relationship compatibility and quality. So if you're hanging out with someone who has an opposite aura color than you, instead of thinking that they're crazy or weird or why don't they act more like you or how you think they should be, you can go, oh, well, they're a tan. No wonder they're acting that way and talking that way, and these are the beliefs. It makes so much sense now. So it just helps us be allowing towards other people's life purpose too.
Right. And do the colors that you're looking at, the ones close to our body, do those change or modulate, or I'm not quite sure the word, as we gather life experience?
Well, first of all, I've been doing this work for 27 years now. Some people, when they're in their power, meaning they're living their full potential of that color can get very big or very bright, or it's just much more expansive. If a person is living the out of power, I use that word out of power instead of negative, the downside, the out of power qualities of that color, then their aura can start looking a little faded or raggedy, or you know, it's just not as vibrant and bright and fulfilled. They're living the negative qualities of that particular personality. Now, I very rarely see someone actually changing their life colors to a completely different color. But again, I emphasize free will, and I believe people can do anything they want, but the life colors usually reflect what you have chosen to do in this lifetime, whether it was to save the world and humanity, or whether it was to be funny or a healer or to be a helper or to be a writer or, you know, to analyze reality. There are certain things you've chosen to do in this lifetime that you have free will. You can change that, in which case, Richard, I have seen over 27 years of doing this, a handful of people actually change their life colors.
Wow.
But usually that's been because they've already fulfilled the aura color that they came with. They already did what they thought they were going to do, and so they're going on to a whole other aspect of their life now, and they've changed their colors. It's really fun to watch, but it's not all that common.
Wow. I get slightly hung up on the idea of, hung up at the idea that you could actually change your colors is really, that is an amazing idea that they would clear up a karma or whatever we want to call that, or do their life lesson that they came in to do, and then graduate into another kind of path. But as you say, it's a free will universe, so that people could do that.
Right.
It's hard. In my case, it's hard to imagine that I would go from being a yellow to, you know, I don't know what, to something. Peace, I don't know. I'm making it. Yeah,
right.
To a completely different color.
Well, now, a lot of people are going, well, you know, I think I changed my colors because I feel totally different than I did a year ago. Mostly, that's typically because someone had suppressed their real-life colors their whole lifetime because they had been raised to think they were supposed to be a practical, responsible, logical tan. So they had added a lot of tan in their aura, and now their natural, real-life colors, they have a violet, is starting to emerge. So it's not that they've changed their life color and their life purpose. They're just finally starting to come into it. it's usually more likely that why somebody feels like their life has changed. Or I see like a blue violet. A blue violet is somebody doing two lifetimes at once. So that's typically a person that goes, well, you know what, I'll come back down to this planet one more time, but I don't want to do this again, so can I just get it all done with in this lifetime? So they do the blue part of their life first, where they want to get married and have children and have a home and just be in love and all of that. And then all of a sudden, their violet, you know, at some point in their life anyway, their violet kicks in and they no longer, all of a sudden, it's not about being just a parent or a housewife or something. All of a sudden, they feel this strong desire to go save the planet or to do huge projects or to become famous. Or all of a sudden, their entire personality starts taking on a shift. But that's because they had already decided to be a blue and a violet. So it fits still with their life colors.
How interesting. It's really, you know, I've spent a lot of time listening to Pam, and I've seen her lecture and read her books, and I've always thought it was a wonderful system. And as you talk about it more, it's even, you know, greater because of its ease of use in conversation.
Right.
And it's interesting use of, as you speak, of talking about how it can, you know, graduate or change. Or I really get now the intensity of the colors can modulate, you know, as you gather what I'm calling life experience.
Right, right. Well, and I want people to know that, well, first of all, I have received calls from different professionals that use the Myers-Briggs testing to help people understand their personality. And they called up and said, you know what? The formula, the protocol, or the methodology of the aura colors is very similar, matter of fact, almost identical to the Myers-Briggs testing. But the colors are easier to remember. They're more fun. They're sexier. They're just people like, they can remember their colors much more if they can, instead of, am I an I, E, T, I forget what I was. It's just easier to understand.
It is. It's, you know, it's, as I say, it's been a great shortcut. Having looked at a lot of and spending time with astrologers, it's always the classic, oh, my moon is in blah, blah, yada, yada, and my Scorpio's, you know, midheaven, you know. But this is always a much easier once people get a kind of an, you know, it's an easy thing to explain to people. Oh, in my case, I'll point at me again, I'm a yellow. And the character, you know, I'm fun and playful and like to have a good time, hate to be told what to do. And it's a really easy thing to explain once people get that.
Right.
That's one of the things I love about this.
Right. And I want to also to share with people, we've all experienced feeling the aura. We all have. I'm sure every single one of us has at one point met someone, and we really like them for some reason. We like how they feel, and we want to be around them. And then we've met other people where we just pull away and go, oh, I don't like their energy. I just don't. You're feeling their aura. You're feeling their energy field. So this is not something that's way out there. This is something we've all experienced. And science has even been doing research on it. There's lots of stuff on science knowing that we've got an energy field around us. So that's fun. And also, Richard, really quick, we have been using the language of aura colors for a long time, and I feel like people don't realize that that's where it comes from. For example, we talk about somebody being true blue, you know, or I'm feeling blue today. Those basically describe the personality of a blue. So how did we come up with the theme true blue? It's not like a person turns blue, right? They're just, but blues are very loyal. And then we've got red with rage and red with anger and red with passion. Those are words to describe someone who has a red life color. Or we've got the happy face yellows and playful yellows and even chicken scaredy cat yellows. And those basically describe a yellow personality. Then we have green with envy and green money. I mean, who came up with green with envy? I mean, it's not like our skin turns green, right? Other than that is a quality very common for green. Then we've got royal violet robes. And violets are very royalty, and you have quite a bit of violet in your aura too, Richard. Not just the yellow anymore. You've definitely got a lot of violet in your aura anymore. So violets are royalty. They feel like they're here to do something big. They are leaders. They are visionaries. They are here to help change the quality of life on the planet, to help improve it, to lead the masses. And so we end up with purple robes, you know, and royalty. Now, way back when there were knights and kings and whatever, the reds were in power. Red life colors were in power. So then the robes were red. because back then, that's when they ruled. Is read the very base physical, you know, the knights and the physical survival on the planet. That's a very red quality. So don't you think that's interesting that we've been using that language for a long time?
I think it's an amazing thing. I'd like to actually know where that, exactly what you're talking about, where that expression, green with envy, came from. Where did that, how did that, you know, and exactly as you're saying them, where did those come from? How did those form? I mean, some really old psychic?
I believe that a lot of people have always had the ability to see auras. We've just been trained not to see them. I see a lot of families now that they're bringing in their children, and their children are seeing auras, and they're seeing the same aura colors that I am. So, you know, if you look at old paintings of the saints, they've all got these halos around their head. I mean, obviously their aura was stronger and brighter so that people really could pick that up. Otherwise, why would they paint light around someone's head? Where did that come from? They were seeing and sensing the aura, the light around a person.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's been depicted forever. And I've always felt that as children, we come in with the ability to see these things naturally. Mm-hmm. And then as we grow older, or as we mature, as we hang out with the, you know, older people, we're trained to... trained is not quite the word. We're something to stop seeing them, because either we become distracted, or you're at some point your mom says, "Oh, what are you talking about? You can't see that." Or, you know, something occurs where we begin to turn those abilities down.
That's right. That's right. We've been taught that that's not reality, and you know, you're not seeing those things. Quite a few people say that when they were little, they either saw lights around people, or they saw spirits, or they knew things that were going to happen, and their families got a little freaked out, so they stopped doing it. Or no one else around them was doing it, so they just stopped because it wasn't validated or supported.
Yeah, yeah. So that leads us to, or leads me to, talk about this new site that you're launching, themovecolors.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the excitement of that, because well, I'll let you talk about it, because, you know, it evolves out of a question for me from, you wrote Love Colors, A New Approach to Love, Relationships, and Auras. And did you have the site in mind when you were doing that, or did it evolve out of that, or?
No, I definitely did not. I am not a tech person, okay, Richard? I wrote the book, well, the first book, Life Colors, I had people begging me to write it down because I knew all the different personality types, like I said, in career direction that people would be fulfilled in. Hold on, I got to get a sip of water. I'm losing my voice. So they asked me, excuse me, sorry, to write Life Colors so they could understand more about themselves and know which direction to go in. And then what evolved is a lot of people, of course, big priority, where's the love of my life, where's my soulmate, what am I looking for? And I know the different, each of the different aura colors are very specific personality traits, and we can go into some of those so people have an idea. So over time, I knew which colors were going to be the most fulfilling and the most compatible with other aura colors, and which ones were already having a really tough time being in relationship with each other because they were so opposite. They so didn't belong together. They didn't see eye to eye. So I have had clients begging me for years to put together a match site, a dating site, which is what lovecolors.com is. It's a dating site based on the compatibility of the different aura colors. We still have all the same, you know, questionnaires that the other sites have, like, do you want male or female? How far away? Do you want a smoker, non-smoker, a drinker? We still have the same profile questions that the other sites do, but you also get to be matched up based on the colors that are compatible with you. Now, we always give people, on the site, we give people permission. We can either send you matches that are the most compatible with your particular aura colors, and you can also go on the site and search for colors that you want to meet. So even if we say, well, you're the most compatible with a violet and a blue, if you say, oh, but I'm really interested in tans and magentas, so like, great, all you have to do is plug in, I want to see all the magentas on the side, I want to see the tans on the side, and all those colors will show up so you can see who on the side has those personalities. So I did not start out thinking that I was going to start a match site. You would think I was crazy. But it's really great, Pete, and this is how it works. People will go on the site, and then we'll get into some, if that's okay with you, some of the specific personalities of the different colors so people can relate more to what I'm talking
great.
About. But when people go on the site, first they'll get to take a questionnaire so that they can find out what their colors are. Most people have one or two. We're leaving it up to three because most people have also added a third color that has become a predominant part of their personality. You take that questionnaire, you find out your colors, then if you want, you can go watch all the videos on those colors or you can read about them. We have both on the site for people that don't like to read. You can just go watch a short video. Well, it's actually pretty comprehensive. If you want to find out what an orange is, you can watch the whole video on oranges. And then we will send you matches and you can look at the profiles of the people that we matched you up with. And if it says they're yellow violet, right there you can click on the yellow and it'll take you to the yellow video. You can click on the violet, it'll take you to the violet video. And now you understand more about that person's personality to see if you even want to contact that person. You might be really drawn to their picture and go, oh, she's really cute, or oh, God, that's a really good-looking guy. And then you go, oh, they're a tan lavender. Let me go see what a tan and a lavender is like. And then after you watch the video, you might go, you know, that's not exactly the type of person I was hoping to be with. Or, oh my gosh, that's perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for. And then you can start the dialogue with that person, start communicating, emailing back and forth with those personality traits in mind. And we even have a chart and a list of the colors that are the most compatible with other colors. So we, on the site, we are helping people in every way we possibly can to help understand the personality of the person that they might start interacting with.
Let's do have you talk a bit about the compatibility part. The, you know, what colors, you know, seem to mix well together, or which ones, you know, butt heads, or, you know, all
okay,
of that.
Great.
Cause I think that's really very cool.
Great. Well, we'll start out with some of the colors that are mostly probably listening to your show. So for example, we have blues. Blues are the loving, nurturing, they're the most emotional people on the planet. They watch commercials and tear up. They cry when they're happy, sad, angry. Blues, it's all about love and spirituality. Those are their two main priorities. They're also the most intuitive and psychic of all the aura colors. Blues just know things. They don't know why they know it. They just know it. Now, blues value loyalty. Long-term, blues are the ones that have what we'll call the Cinderella complex. Blues have this belief, you know, this ever since they were little, they wanted to be happily married with Prince Charming, and it was supposed to last forever. So blues need partners that are very loyal, that are very trustworthy, that they can bond with emotionally. Blues really need to be able to feel how their partner's feeling. They need someone who's going to be emotionally available with them. So they can be very compatible with violets, because violets are very expressive, they're usually very spiritual, they're very deep, they're very charismatic. I'll jump into that real quick. Violets are basically the humanitarian, the people that, like I said earlier, are here to help save the planet. They're here to help the masses. They get involved in the media or the arts or the communication fields, teaching, psychology, politics, law, causes, anything where they can help the masses. And blues are typically teachers, counselors, and nurses. So they're both emotional and deep enough that they can make a very compatible partnership, usually, unless a violet is out of power. In power, they're very charismatic, very visionary, very deep, and they allow people to be who they are. When violets are out of power, they get very dictatorial and bossy and impatient and holier than thou, and the downside of violets is they can become very arrogant and self-centered. And so blues can have a hard time trusting violets, because violets, if they're not happy at home, they are the number one color that can have affairs, just because they get bored very easily. So their partner has to really inspire them. Violets need partners that are either incredibly supportive of their big visions, what they're on the planet to do, and they can fly with them and keep up with them. Or they've got a partner that really inspires them, and they build dreams and a life together, and they get excited about it, and they go travel together, and they help the masses together. So if you're going to be in a relationship with a violet, that's what violets need. So you can see how the compatibility can be there, and then also what to look out for if someone's out of power. Or blues also are very compatible with you yellows, Richard, because yellows are basically the big, fun-loving, free-spirited, big kids at heart. Yellows have a great sense of humor. They like to laugh. They like to cheer everybody up. They like to please everybody. You yellows are little entertainers when it comes to, I just want to make everybody happy. Now, yellows on the downside, well, I don't know. On the downside, they can be kind of stubborn, sometimes to their detriment. Stubborn to stick with your principles and to accomplish something you believe in, that's one thing. But sometimes yellows can be very stubborn and not get on with it. They also tend to procrastinate. They have great ideas, but they don't always activate it. They don't always get on with it because they get insecure, so they don't live their dreams and visions a lot. A blue will put up with that. A blue will understand that because blues are just the caretakers. So they're like big moms, and yellows are like big kids. And they're both very sweet and loving and kind and generous, so they can get along really well. The other downside of a yellow, however, is yellows often have a fear of commitment. Yellows, for example, about marriage, as long as the person's not totally available, yellows go, oh, hi, they flirt, do you like me? Do you think I'm cute? Look at how nice I am. Look at how sweet. I'm going to please you, please you, please you. And then as soon as somebody like a blue goes, yes, okay, let's get married, let's make a life together, the yellow pulls away and goes, well, wait a second, because sometimes to a yellow, marriage can look like growing old, getting stuck, getting bored, and dying. So yellows have to be with someone they can have fun with, that they can make laugh, that they can play with, or they can go be outdoors or get into sports or exercise. They need a partner that they playmate. So if they've got that, they'll make a commitment because then it looks like life together is going to be fun and they can have fun for their whole lives. But if a blue gets, the downside of blues is they can get very needy and depressed and very like, you're never at home, you don't want to be with me. They can get very insecure and be martyrs and victims and, you know, feel very, blues can often have abandonment issues. So if the yellow's off doing his sports or playing or wanting to go hang with his friends, the blues sometimes will take that very personally. So in power, meaning if they're both living their healthy side, these are very, very compatible partners. It's if somebody's unhealthy and fear of commitment or an arrogance that we start getting into trouble. Or another really good example, because I see this a lot, unfortunately, is those yellows that are fun-loving and free-spirited, they just want to be happy. The downside of yellows, too, is they don't make money a priority. Yellows, it's not about money, so they can get money and it just disintegrates in their hands. Huh, Richard? We can just, you know, yellows just like, well, I had money, where the heck did it go? And a lot of times they get involved with greens. And greens are the type A driven personalities on the planet. Greens like to accomplish. They can become workaholics. They really want nice things and nice cars and nice homes. And they're really driven to be in business and to have a lot of money. And if they marry a yellow and the yellow just doesn't have a clue about money and we're just out having a good time, those two colors are going to have a real hard time because greens, when they're unhappy, boy, can they drive that home. And they will pound out a yellow. They'll tell us, like, when are you going to grow up and when are you going to get a real job and when are you going to... And yellows don't grow up. I mean, you know, they can create, they can accomplish, they're great healers. They're great creative people, they're great sports people, they're great yoga instructors. They can accomplish great things. But can you imagine these sensitive yellows who just want to please and have fun and make everyone happy in a relationship with a green that their main focus is on money and accomplishing and getting ahead and getting educated and having nice things? After a while, a yellow's like, I'm not making you happy. And then neither one of the partners are happy.
Yeah.
Been there, huh?
Been there.
Been there. Don't want one of those again.
We were talking about the tans. Where do the tans fit in here? Because they have such a special sort of quality as well.
They do. And just real quick, it's greens are compatible with people like violets because they're both driven and they want to accomplish, or reds because those are powerful colors. So greens need partners that they can respect and accomplish things with, and they can both make a lot of money together. So greens, they have higher standards, but they can find partners that, you know, can equal their power. Now, tans are, there's four different kinds of tans. I see logical tan, environmental tan, sensitive tan, and abstract tan. Now, they can read my book or go on lovecolors.com and take the test. And by the way, lovecolors.com, by the way, right now is free. Anybody can go on it. We just started, so anyone can go on and take the test and create a profile and meet friends or understand, you know, watch all the videos. Right now it's free, so people might want to take advantage of it. We're probably going to start charging sometime in 2011, not sure. Anyway, tans are the practical, logical, analytical, security-conscious people. So tans like paychecks and secure jobs, and they're very methodical. They need to see the data, the logic behind things. I see them being accountants and bookkeepers and computer programmers and engineers, architects, anything where they are happy dealing with the details. Now, the positive thing about tans is tans have the patience to take care of all the details. They relish handling the details, where a lot of colors like violets don't have the patience for that. Greens don't have the patience for that. Violets go 150. Greens go 1, 2, okay, I got it, 10. Let's go. Come on. Tans will do step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4. So it's great that we have tans on the planet because they do figure things out that the rest of us go, I just want to see the big picture. I just want to be creative. And tans are very methodical about getting things done. And the other good thing about tans is when tans do commit to a relationship, they typically commit long term. When they finally analyze it all, when they finally figure out this is what they want to do and make sense, usually they plan on marrying for life. I can hear people going, well, I'm sure the rest of them plan for life. I go, not necessarily. Magentas are not sure that they're going to, magentas tend to like to get married just for the party, just for the fun, and they'll be married for, you know, a month, maybe 2 years, and it's like, okay, next. So they're not always colors that plan for life, but tans are stable and loyal and practical. Now, the downside of tans is they can get very stuck in their patterns. They're very, very conservative and cautious with their money. They're not frivolous. If they go and buy a couch for their house, they want that couch not to just be pretty and lavish, which a green or a violet will like, because they like high-quality things. Tans like sturdy, durable, something that could last them for years and years and years, very practical, so it's not about lavish. And tans can get very stuck in their ways. Usually, most tans don't believe in things like what I'm talking about. They don't believe in psychic abilities usually or auras because, well, where's the scientific proof for that? Where's the practicality? Now, remember, Richard, most people have two life colors. So a lot of people listening might be yellow and tan, or they might be blue and tan, which is basically a sensitive tan. So it's usually a combination. But if you've encountered just a straight tan, I can give you a clue if you've got a tan. First of all, when they talk, they will tell you every detail of the story. They usually are not fast talkers. The fast talkers are the violets and the greens. They want to hurry up and get to the punchline. 150, let's go. Come on, I got things to do. Just tell me the punchline. What's the end of the story? Get to the point. And tans are like, well, I'm filling in all the details so you understand what I'm telling you. And tans can get stuck in, this is the way I've always done it, this is the way I'm going to do it till the day I die. And tans, especially logical tans and environmental tans, they tend to keep their feelings to themselves. They don't usually talk about how they feel. If you can get a tan to talk about how they feel, they'll usually say, well, I think I feel. So blues, traditionally, like our parents, typically the blue mom got drawn to the practical, down-to-earth tan because they knew they could count on them to always be there. They weren't going to abandon them. They were going to be providers because tans will provide just very slowly and you know, cautiously and with paychecks. And so the Blue thinks they've got a great partner, and then over the years they get frustrated because Blues want to discuss things about feelings and emotions, and Tans are not typically comfortable doing that. So hence a lot of divorces, because the Blue can't seem to connect with the Tan. Does that make sense? And we've all
I'm
seen that, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And I'm laughing because I know that I have some tan in my colors.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that the tan part of me is the part that is able to do the setup that I do for doing recordings or shows or these kinds of events, where I have three or four things running in the background, well, actually about five or six programs running. I'm monitoring the chat room. I'm watching things. You know, it allows me to do that repetitive set up, get here, and then my yellow side, once we start talking, is the fun, you know, let's have a good time doing this part. So it's an interesting balancing act, you know, being this much yellow and having that, you know, that small quantity of tan in there to keep me over.
Yep, you're absolutely right, Richard. And the tans are very good at technology. They can be engineers and handle the technology. So that's an asset. That's great. What's funny is tans are like, you need to make a living, you need to make some money here, we have to be able to pay our bills. And yellows are like, I don't care about money, I just want to have fun and be creative and, you know, do what I want to do and be spontaneous. And the tan's like, oh, get back here and make some money. And yellow's like, but I want fun and freedom. No, you need to be responsible. So if you can find a way to balance it, it's great. I mean, Brad Pitt's got a lot of yellow and tan. He's added violet just like you have, Richard.
Hmm.
Brad Pitt is a yellow tan who's added violet. And Harrison Ford is a yellow tan. Do you see that tan, that grounded, you know, and then the yellow sense of humor? But that tan that can be very, you know, manly looking, you know, and manly feelings, like, oh, down to earth and grounded and, yes, very practical, yeah. And then that yellow big kid that women just go, oh, he's so cute and funny and charming. So tan
exactly.
Can come in very handy as long as the tan doesn't stop you. So, for example, the fact that you've got violet in your aura, too. Violet has these grand visions, and they want to play big, and they want to reach the masses, and they want to be global, and they want to do something that's so beyond. You know, a tan's doing 1 to 10, 1 to 10, 1 to 10 their whole lives. And the violet goes, no, 150, big projects. And the tan goes, well, now, how in the world are you going to do that? How are you going to get from 1 to 50 when we're only on steps 1 and 2? That's not practical. That's not logical. You're an unrealistic dreamer. That is something about violets. They get accused a lot of being unrealistic dreamers, especially by tans and greens, who are much more mental and practical. And I've got to see the logic behind what your vision is.
I always kind of thought of, you know, on Star Trek, that Spock was tan.
Uh-huh.
Captain Kirk was yellow.
Uh-huh. Yellow and violet.
Yellow and violet. That's how they sort of sound like tan. He, like Spock was always the expression of the really ultimate tan.
Yeah.
He was always very, no, no, we can't get there from here. You must do this first.
That's illogical.
It's
very illogical.
Exactly.
There's no data for that.
Exactly. We actually have a caller that I'd like to pop in here, if that's all right, and see what their question is.
Mm-hmm.
Just a moment. Okay, 0650. I think you're the Skype caller.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Richard. My name is Brandy.
Hi, Brandy.
And what's your question, Brandy?
I really enjoy this topic. I was just curious if y'all could tell what my color is.
Sure, Brandy. And what I do is get a visual of you. What color hair and eyes do you have?
Brown hair, green eyes.
Brown hair, green eyes. Or is it light brown hair, dark brown, medium brown?
I would say light brown.
Light brown hair, and you said green eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brandy, something that's funny about you, you have really learned how to do a lot of tan, and I see other colors with you, like a little touch of violet, some yellow, a little bit of blue, and I feel like you've learned how to do tan stuff, and that's not making you happy, because tans are the ones that get the jobs and the paychecks, and yellows and violets would much rather be free-spirited and go play or do something creative and whatever, and you understand tans go, well, you have to do a job and you have to make a living. Do you understand that?
Right. Yes.
So I feel like you're much more free spirited than you've been allowed to live. You're much more. You're such a. I feel like there's a side of you that's a little rebel, to tell you the truth. And it's like, no,
yeah.
you gotta do the practical job. Unfortunately, good. Not happy about it. Can I ask you a question, Brandy? Why am I seeing cigarette smoke around you? Who smokes cigarettes?
I do.
I thought so. Brandy, I'm smelling cigarette. Huh?
Time for me to quit.
Well, you know what? That's a yellow thing. Let me explain to you why you're doing that, okay? Because you have felt trapped. It's like you're so much funnier. You're so much more free-spirited. But I feel like you didn't get supported that, even in your childhood, to be as creative and as funny as you are. And so that tan just really suppressed you, and it's kind of taken, and you're grateful. You're funny, too, by the way. But I feel like that tan has kind of robbed your life energy. It's kind of put a big old raincoat over you. Do you understand that?
Yes.
So remember I said yellows are rebels? So basically
yes.
What your yellow's doing is going, well, then forget you. I'm just going to smoke because who cares? If I'm not going to have fun, I'm just going to rebel against you. And you know, it's kind of a self-sabotage thing. So I would recommend without, you know, I know we yellows don't like being told what to do, so I'll say this the nicest way I can. Man, are you funny. Seriously, Brandy, you got a sense of humor in there. It's a very dry sense of humor, but it is. It's funny. But do you understand how I feel like you kind of just get suppressed? My recommendation would be for you to find things that you love to do that are creative or funny and see if you can break out of some of that tan that I swear has been around you since you were a child. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, behave yourself. Don't do that. You can't do that. And it just swallowed you up. Do you understand that?
Yeah. And when I was born, it was in astrology, it was, I think I was born during a Saturn retrograde.
Uh-huh.
Do you know anything about astrology?
Richard does more than I do. I know only a little bit.
So it's almost like I'll become more childlike as I get older.
Right, right. Well, that's the yellow. Yep, yellows are big kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, so you definitely have some yellow in there. You just have to find a way to make it fun, because otherwise you know what you're doing. You're just smoking yourself right off the planet.
Right.
And you've already had that thought, even though yellows are stubborn, going, well, I don't have to go until I want to. But if yellows don't have fun here, then they just don't want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Richard, do you have anything you want to add to her?
you're very funny in there, Brandy. I can hear you like shaking your head and going, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. Having a nutritional background, I can also say that the smoking thing is also something that helps your body produce serotonin so that you feel... the hormones are released in the system that make you feel better. Besides the drug-like effect of the nicotine, the serotonin is boosted and you feel more at ease after you smoke. And I think that dis-ease, and I don't mean that illness, I mean in the sense of actual dis-ease that you're having, will come into more evolution, that will dissipate as you become more yellow and allow yourself to be the yellow that you know, the fun lover that you are. As that tan begins to break away, you'll feel more fun. You'll feel more at ease without the need for smoking.
Right.
It'll just evolve away.
Yep, because the smoking's not really getting you anywhere. It's just got you a little stuck going, well, at least I feel good when I'm doing that. But then you get bewildered, like, well, what else am I supposed to be doing with my life? And seriously, Brandy, you got a great soul in there. I hope that you start finding things that make you happy, that are fun, and since you do have a little bit of violet and blue in your aura, you might want to, those two colors need to contribute to other people. When they start helping other people and feel like they're making a difference here, they start feeling better. So I'm really sorry you didn't feel supported when you were growing up and the people that raised you didn't really quite know who you really were. But if you can find ways to contribute to help other people, I feel like part of you will be a little bit more fulfilled and maybe not feeling so, you know, I'm going to say suppressed or kind of robbed of who you really are, because you are much more vibrant and vital than you've been able to live in this lifetime so far.
That's so true. That's so true.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Brandy. That was nice of you.
That was fun.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
Okay, have fun.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye. You got to say have fun to a yellow. You know that, right?
Have a good time. Have a great
day. And what I encourage people to do is when they find out both their colors, is if they're at war with each other, like the tan she's learned and that yellow that just, you know, yellows, if they had their way, yellows wouldn't work at all. Okay, unless it was fun, there's a lot of freedom, it didn't feel like work. So when people find out they have two different colors, to find how to balance those two, and I've written about that in my book, Life Colors, a lot, and it's in Love Colors. And again, that they can go on lovecolors.com and, you know, just start dialoguing with other people that have, you know, even if it's not their perfect mate yet or they're not really looking for a perfect mate, they can chat, they can email back and forth right now with other people that have similar colors just to kind of friend people and cheer them up and go, yeah, how's your violet doing it? Or, you know, how's your lavender doing it?
Well, I think it's such a great, as I said, I think it's such a great language system that for people just to go on and find out what their colors are is really great. And also the ability to then, as you say, you know, dialogue with other yellows,
mm-hmm.
dialogue with other violets and talk about what that's like and how that feels. You know, whether you're dating this person or not, I think just having that information is huge. And the ability to begin to dialogue with other yellows and talk about the, you know, I'll use the term issue of
right.
money, and how's that for you? How are you working that? You know, what's that? You know, how does that? How do you make that happen? You know, because it's we really just want to have a good time, and it's not like we're endless party dogs. It's just that we want to have
right.
fun.
That's right. Well, and you know, there are a lot of very successful yellows out there. I mean, you know, Brad Pitt and Harrison Ford and Bill Cosby's a yellow violet. Yellows can make money, but they have to enjoy what they're doing. It has to be playful or creative. They have to like what they're doing. So, you know, right now on lovecolors.com, people can go, and they don't even have to sign in to go watch the videos. There are lots of videos on there. Right now, everything's for free. So if they just even want to go and watch about their, well, of course, they won't know what they are if they don't take the questionnaire. So just go ahead and take the questionnaire so you can find your colors. Or if you really don't have the patience to do that, like most yellows, just, you know, but have make it fun. But just go watch the videos then and see if you can go, oh, that's me right there. Or you'll watch some of the videos and go, oh, no, I'm not that color. I can tell that right now. That doesn't fit me at all. So, but you can identify your friends or your partners or your kids or your parents. It's really a cool tool, huh, Richard?
I think it's a great tool. As I said, I've hung out for years with a number of people where we have this as a common language, and it's just really helpful. It's A, it's fun, and B, it's a really great way of talking about others in a way like, oh, you really like him, he's a yellow, or oh, she's really brilliant, she's a great violet. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm,
it's such a great way of very easily, as you say, not labeling like, oh, you're only a violet. It's not that. It's just that it's a trend or a characteristic and a languaging that's really helpful to shortcut communication about others.
Right. And I show people on there how to stay in power with their colors so they're living the positive qualities of who they are and what happens when they go into the downside, how they can get back up into their positive side. So it's just a really helpful, useful tool to help people. My goal is to see people happy and fulfilled and living what they came to the planet to do. And I also wanted to add, because you're going to get this question, I always do, how does this fit in with astrology? I believe that before we incarnated or chose to become physical or whatever you want to say, we actually had an idea of the things we wanted to experience down here, experience, learn, what we wanted, who we wanted to meet, what fun we wanted to have, what we wanted to do here. So I believe what we did is we left breadcrumbs behind in case we got to the planet and totally forgot why we came here. So we've got iridology, numerology, astrology, the aura colors, palmistry. We have left so many clues behind so that we can look at it and go, oh, that's right, I'm a Sagittarian, that's right, I remember why I came here. Or, oh, yes, I'm a violet, oh, that's right, that is why I came here. So we've left a lot of signs so we didn't forget.
I think it's, you know, as you say, there are a lot of systems, you know, whether and the one that I think you, the only one you might have left out was the Enneagram, which I think is really great.
Oh, right. Yeah, that
one. When I try and learn it. But we've left a lot of, you know, tool bags that you could stumble into and go, oh, here's a clue about why I'm here. Here's
right.
the, how this works. But what I really have always liked about this system is the ease of really understanding. I mean, it doesn't take long to explain what a yellow is like, or I have a friend, a close friend who's a green, or, you know, has a very big chunk of green. And when she's in green mode, we know that. And she'll say, I'm in green mode. Okay,
right.
I'll talk to you on Tuesday. You know, we don't have to talk
That's a yellow. Bye-bye.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yellows don't like conflict, so they'll go away.
No,
or they'll smoke, or they'll drink,
that's
or they'll
one of my worst things about being a yellow is I do hate conflict. It's really true.
But you know what? How yellows do solve conflict if they'll hang out? They're creative problem solvers. They've got great creative ideas, and that can actually benefit a green. If a green's getting all frustrated and stuck and, oh, I can't get this to work, and greens work really hard, and they try really hard, and a yellow's lighten up, okay, let's look at it, and they can come up with great creative solutions. And a green's like, oh, how do you, you know, green sets can be helpful as long as you don't have one of those stubborn greens that doesn't like being wrong, because greens don't like to be wrong. Or to be argued with, because they are arguers. So there are positive qualities. Instead, I know yellows. That's what we do. We don't like conflict, so we go, okay, I'll talk to you later, or we don't answer the phone, or we avoid somebody. But if you do want to use the positive side, it's coming up with creative solutions instead of running away.
Absolutely. And now, can you talk a little bit about, you may have, but maybe because I have a thing about it, I'm not sure. When greens are in power, can you give us some examples of a green in power?
Green in power, sure. Donald Trump is a green, and Bill Gates is a green in power. He's a green violet. They accomplish. They get things done. They make a lot of money. They actually can add to and help the economy because they are the most powerful movers and shakers on the planet. So when a green's in power, you can respect them. You can count on a green of getting things done. They're amazing beings. They're very smart. They're very quick. Anytime I want something done, I'll go to a green. But a green out of power, you don't want to mess with because they get very impatient, very frustrated, very critical, very demeaning. And when a green's unhappy, you will know it because they will tell you. Greens don't mince words. Sometimes the words that can come out of a green's mouth can be really sharp. But when greens are in power, man, are they quick and bright. They will get it done faster than almost anybody. Greens and violets are the two that can really accomplish. Well, reds do it too, but in a different way.
Yeah. And I guess this just popped in. This is like a bulletin, so I have to ask. So what colors is Obama?
And you don't know that?
What I don't.
Really? You can't sense what he is?
No. Well, I get too hung up in the political part.
I
can't see him.
Obama was actually born violet with yellow, just like Abraham Lincoln, just like John and Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King. I have a dream. I have a vision. He adds green around him at times. He is a violet yellow. Now, I've run across people that say they see a lot of indigo in his bands, too. And I have to tell you, most of the violets I've run into now are really starting to add indigo into their aura. And we didn't have time to talk about indigos today, but people can go online and, you know, check out indigos or read either my books or go to Love Colors or my other website, Aura Colors. If they're really afraid to go on a dating site, lovecolors.com, they can go to auracolors.com, auracolors.com. The test is also on there. They won't see the videos there, but they can at least read about indigos on that page. But I see a lot of violets adding indigo, which is why you also tested on the high on the indigo too, Richard. A lot of violets are adding it, and Obama is one of those violets who has put some indigo into his aura.
How interesting. Interesting. Actually, as you say it, now that you say it, I can get it. But as I say, I get so hung up in the political part because he's so projecting a particular kind of like green-like quality when he's being decisive and speaking.
Yeah.
That it masks the other colors, I think.
Well, and we won't get political here on your show, but I'll just say
right,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that Obama's mission here, his purpose for doing this, was to inspire us. That's the whole thing. When he got elected, everyone was inspired, and that's a violet word, inspiration, inspire, inspiration. So he wasn't here to do it for us. He was here. Violets want to empower people to do it for themselves. It's like, come on, you guys, you can do it. You're powerful. You're dynamic. You're amazing beings. You're charismatic. Go for it. Do it. He wasn't here to do it for us. Blues do that. Blues rescue everybody. And, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. Or greens go, get out of my way. You can't do it as good as I can or as well as I can. I'll get it done. Because greens typically want control and power. So they do better if they do it themselves. But violets want to inspire people to believe in themselves so that they can also do it. So remember, that was the whole theme of the campaign was inspiration.
Right. It was very, very early on, and he was very much into the inspiration of what he wanted to do and achieve.
Mm-hmm. And now he's having to deal with a lot of greens, Richard. So he's having to take on that green persona to deal with the greens that are like, oh, you have to do it our way, and it's about the money, and it's about power, and it's about oil companies and corporations and money and control. And he's having to talk with greens. He's having to deal with the greens that are usually corporate people and business people. And I'm not putting down greens. Greens are amazing. But they're also out-of-power greens can be very selfish and very much more about the money than anything.
Well, unfortunately, that seems to be... I didn't mean to have us go into the political conversation.
No, because all the colors are good. All the colors serve a purpose. We're all here for a great reason, and even if it's to help us learn what not to be.
That's very good. I think I'll have us end there, because otherwise we'll go careening off. Again, this is Richard Olson from SoundHealthOptions.com. Okay, excellent. Well, we're still actually on the air, but the show itself has ended.
Oh, okay, because, we've gone 64 minutes now.
Right. Well, no, the show can actually go longer. It's just some of the chat closes and some things end, but we're still on the air. So if there were people, let me check and see if there's anybody with a question. No questions. Well, that was really fun. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Richard. Thanks, and thanks for mentioning the site. I really appreciate that.
Well, I think it is. I mean, I really do think it's a very cool, I'm not just, hyping on air. I think it is a really cool system, and I think what a great way to match people up, to give them a filter, to see stuff, to have it, to get some sort of filter beyond, going to, I don't know anything about any of the sites.
Mm-hmm.
But, the sites where you just put up a picture and long walks on the beach and wine, blah, blah, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This at least gives a really, a nice, here's a quality that you have, and here's a quality that balances with that really nicely. What a great place to start.
Yay.
How cool is that? So,
Yay. Well, it's just it gives people another dimension to look for in understanding themselves so that they can have a healthy relationship and understanding the person.
All right. Well, thanks very much. Have a fun day.
Oh, thank you.